And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, you are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 134. Holy crap, it's freezing outside. It is negative 14 degrees as I record this show, which is about negative 24 for those of you who are in Canada and other parts of the civilized world who don't use Fahrenheit anymore. And we're having our own little miniature Fimbul Venter here. All right, I admit it. I found the casket of ancient winners, and I had to look inside. It's all my fault. Well, I suppose I could blame Walt Simonson for creating the damn thing. Anyway, so you're going to continue on as we were last week and talk about the Lee Kirby run on Thor. We have a good issue this time, folks. Nice artwork here. And so let's just go ahead and get on to it. Here's our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are going to be covering Thor number 163. For those of you following along at home, this issue has been reprinted in Marvel Masterworks Thor Volume 8 and also in The Essential Thor Volume 3. Pick them up at a comic shop near you. Thor number 163 has a cover date of April 1969, retailed for 12 cents. Cover art is by Kirby and Coletta. Shows in the foreground Thor and the Lady Sif facing off against some dude in an orange overcoat, who I'm guessing is probably related to Scott Coles somehow. I'm not really sure how, but he has a lot less hair than Scott Coles. Looks like a vampire, sort of, almost. He has this sort of sharp bottom teeth sticking up. I have a feeling we've seen this gentleman before. As we progress through the issue, we will find out exactly who this is. And this guy in the orange overcoat is standing on top of kind of an opening in a bunch of rocks, and behind him are a bunch of evil-looking green demon-looking creatures. And of course, that's borne out by the title of the story in the cover blurb, Where Dwell the Demons? And we open up to the splash page, where of course we have the credits. Stan the Man Lee and Jack King Kirby produced this issue. Inking was by Vinnie Coletta, and Sam Rosen is the letterer. And we start out with a very generic picture here of Thor just kind of standing on top of a building and holding Mjolnir in one hand. And Mjolnir is having shrinkage problems again. It almost looks like, yeah, it's kind of a little mini Mjolnir, and it doesn't look that called out, so it doesn't really have an excuse. And we have the title of the story, Where Dwell the Demons? And considering that it's asking a question, it's ending with an exclamation point. So, Stan, that's bad grammar. Thor is saying, I must find the stunning Sif. There be strange danger here on Earth. It must not strike she whom I love. And he's looking around the city from the top of the building and says, A most forbidding quiet doth grip the city. I sense an aura of deepest evil hanging like an unseen cloud. But now the sound of soaring engines doth assail my ears. And he looks down, and there's a bunch of armored cars and tanks and stuff, and they're racing through the streets. An armored convoy speeding through yon streets, because Thor has to speak the obvious. Then surely there is cause for great alarm. And they have a guy in a bullhorn here, and he's announcing to the city, Attention, attention all citizens. Clear the streets, clear the streets. During this emergency, you are ordered to remain indoors. And Thor says, I have heard a no. If grave disaster hath befallen, then let the God of Thunder strike. The time has come for Thor to fly. And he whirls his hammer around his head and takes off. We see him following the caravan, or whatever they want to call it, the motorcade or whatever it is. He's kind of flying over everybody. And the soldiers in the motorcade see him, and they say, Hey, get a load of that. It's Thor himself, winging his way after us. Thor's off in his own little world, and he's saying to himself, I care not what awaits me. so long as Sif is safe from harm. Yeah, so as you recall, he left Asgard because Heimdall told him that Sif had kind of snuck off to Earth, and he was afraid that she was in some kind of danger. And he passes over the motorcade, and the soldiers are talking about him still. I never believed he could fly with that far-out hammer of his.
I'm seeing it, and I still don't believe it.
And Thor's commenting about the motorcade like they're commenting about him. The vehicles begin to slacken speed. Methinks we do approach our desired destination. All below have halted. Now shall Thor descend, for I do perceive a sight most somber, the like of which mine eyes have never before beheld. And Thor lands in front of a bunch of these soldiers. And what Thor's looking at is this giant yellow and orange sort of swirly thing. And it's not like anything anybody else has seen before. And Thor is saying, a strange whirling funnel composed of mystic nameless forces. 'Tis surely this that hath attracted the attention of the goddess Sif. And soldiers are saying, Thor, don't get too close. We still don't know what that stuff is. All we can be sure of is that this was the site of the City Atomic Research Center. But everything's vanished now.
Careful, General. We don't know what's inside of that.
And there's like this sort of scientist type person. He's got these weird goggles. And there's some of these Kirby machines are wheeling up to this big funnel thing. I have to say, it really doesn't look much like a funnel. It just looks like this big yellow and orange swirly cylinder thing. And the guy's saying, Sif, is that the strangely costumed female who was here 1 minute? And then before our eyes, she was whisked inside of that thing? There was a girl, a strikingly beautiful creature, who said it was her duty to investigate. Her speech was as unusual and archaic as yours.
Then 'twas she. Of that there can be no doubt, says Thor.
I like how he's just going to assume that anybody who speaks like him is Sif. Anyway. So Thor takes his hammer and he's kind of poking at the funnel. And trying to poke a hole in it, I guess. And they're like,
wait, stop. What are you trying to do?
I seek to join my lady Sif. And yet, not even Mjolnir may breach yon funnel.
And it seems to be bouncing off, and you get kind of lightning shooting off of it. We get kind of a view from the inside of Thor kind of leaning up against the funnel. And he says,
within the turbulence, mine eyes perceive a thing alive. It doth approach. It draws ever nearer.
And it's kind of a cool view from like inside the funnel thing of just Thor in silhouette. And kind of like just his shadow. And that's a really, really striking picture. And I'm noticing, you know, Kirby is experimenting a lot with viewing from different angles. And he's just kind of playing around with his artwork a lot. And it's really, really good stuff. It's not the sort of stuff that you really think of when you think of Jack Kirby. But it's good stuff nonetheless. And we then shift scenes, and we are back on Asgard and the palace of Odin. And Odin's hanging out on his, it's like a terrace, you know, sort of a, I don't know, balcony outside of the palace. And we see some really gorgeous Kirby space behind him. And he's brooding. He says,
a strange disquietude now grips my breast.
Well, somebody's grabbing his breast. No wonder he's disquieted.
For Galactus liveth still.
And he's approached by his helper. I don't know if this is supposed to be Torger or not. But he's not wearing the KKK robes. He's just wearing this kind of blue robe with it looks like a giant purple S on the back. So maybe he's some sort of weird Superman. Anyway, he's like,
Sire, thou didst send for thy keeper of antiquities?
Aye, approach the presence, ancient one. I would behold the Book of Ages.
And he's carrying this old antique book. It's like bound up in leather belts and that kind of thing.
I know what thou seekest, but 'tis not here. Naught is known of the dread Galactus, save what thee thyself hath learned.
And he opens the book for Odin. Odin's kind of looking over his shoulder, looking a little bit Santa Claus-like.
And yet, I must learn the secret of the incubosphere from which he was spawned. Ho, ho, ho. For until I do, the threat to Asgard shall ne'er be stopped. Merry Christmas.
And we then shift back to Earth and the big, huge funnel. Now it looks kind of like the Tower of Fire from the movie The Ten Commandments. That's kind of what it looks like here. I wonder what year that came out. I wonder if that's kind of... I think it actually came out before this. We get a little bit of a caption from Stan here. But speaking of threats, how about this for a starter? And the army says, Thor, stay back. You're much too close.
Nay, I must enter the funnel, whatever the cost.
There are figures inside, getting clearer as they move closer.
They slowly approach the God of Thunder, says Thor.
There's no telling what'll happen next. Don't take your eyes off Thor. Stand by to fire at my command.
And all the soldiers are pointing their rifles and guns and tanks and all that stuff at the pillar. And all of a sudden, a bunch of arms reach out and they grab Thor and they drag him into the vortex. And the general, who we actually see his face for the first time, he looks a lot like Thunderbolt Ross. And maybe that's just the way Kirby likes to draw generals, but that's exactly what he looks like. He goes, powerful arms reaching out. They're pulling him in. Fire! And they're firing at the funnel, but the bullets and all that are just bouncing off or being absorbed or whatever. And Thor disappears into the funnel. You see kind of diving in head first or being dragged in, I guess. And you see his feet sticking out. And he's being tackled to the ground by a bunch of guys in armor, different colored. One guy's wearing orange and red. One guy's wearing green and purple, so you know he's evil. And another guy just sort of has this blue-violet sort of color armor. And they're saying,
we've captured another.
But he's the mightiest of all.
Slam, show him no mercy.
And Thor looks surprised, says, what manner of beings art thou? Thou art human in form, and yet they, and we get a glimpse of the guy who's wearing the kind of the magenta helmet and the green armor.
And he looks like an alien or a demon or something. He's got this big old huge like bat-like ears that stick out on the side of his head and big old pale, you know, like white eyes and snaggly teeth. Kind of a typical Kirby design.
He says, so, our appearance does not please the yellow hair. We are mutates, and you are doomed.
And we see on the next page, Thor doesn't like being threatened like that. He breaks free, swipes his hammer at the whole bunch of them. They all go flying. And of course, they all look completely different than they did in the prior panel. Because, you know, inconsistency. And Thor yells,
none so threaten the God of Thunder. If thou be from Earth, never have I seen the like. Thou hast the trappings of savagery, and yet there are great forces at thy control.
We've gathered weapons since the days of the monstrous fire cloud. Weapons that will serve us now.
And he pulls out the sort of gun thing, and he shoots it at Thor, and Thor manages to dodge the blast, but the blast destroys the wall. Wall? What wall? This is like a giant whirlpool. Why, where's a wall? Anyway, there was a wall, and now it's been destroyed. And Thor is like,
I know not why thou fightest without cause, but if battle be the cry, then Thor shall not be wanting. But more than battle is my goal. I seek the noble goddess Sif. If she be harmed, then all shall rue this day. Now bring her forth, or face the further wrath of Thor.
And he's going to batter up these little mutate guys pretty good. And we see what Thor's looking at, and it's this big, huge mutate guy, and he's holding this giant pink hammer. Yeah, that's not subtle at all, folks. Stan or Jack, that is not at all subtle. It's a giant pink hammer. Anyway, and it's being held by this great, big, enormous mutate who, again, like the other mutates, see, he has these big, huge bat-like ears. He's wearing a helmet that actually looks a lot like Loki's helmet, at least one version of Loki's helmet. And I don't think that was actually on purpose. And he's saying,
there is no wrath as deadly as the wrath of the mutates.
And Sif is there in the background, and she's been captured, and her hands are stuck to this giant sphere thing. Looks like a giant dumbbell. It's made of a yellow metal. Yeah, it looks actually like a giant barbell that she's stuck to. And she's like,
my lord, thou hast found me, but have a care. They are truly demons, demons from out of time. They hold me captive by means of attractospheres. Thus is thy lady helpless.
So I guess the attractospheres are attracting her hands so that she can't move.
Him who doth face thee now is leader of the mutates. He is the deadliest of all.
I like the mutates' boots. They have these big old three-toed feet, and this is like a glove with like a fingerless glove. So his toes are sticking out. That seems to be really impractical to fight in. You'd think it's good for going to the beach, but, you know, you could stub your toe pretty bad wearing this. So Thor doesn't like what he sees here, and he lunges forward. He's attacking the Mutate. He's got Mjolnir in his hand. He's smashing the Mutate. The Mutate is blocking Mjolnir with his giant pink hammer, which is not symbolic or subtle at all. And he's saying, "So the stranger has defeated my savage guard, but I am chief. Because none can match my power. None mayhap save the mighty Thor," says Thor. And the two of them are tussling. And the giant pink hammer, which is, you know, not subtle at all, has this giant big hook on the end of it. Kind of like what they used to use in the vaudeville days or like in Looney Tunes cartoons that they would hook people off stage with if they're really bad. And he uses it and he just kind of swings it around and he trips Thor with it. So I guess it's a practical weapon after all. And the guy's saying, "You, a smooth-skinned lone intruder? You, who have the form and features of a lowly human? My people despise them because the humans would not fight. But the Mutates live for battle, and we attack, and we destroy anything human on sight." And Thor's like, "Okay, so be it. Then the God of Thunder needs show thee no mercy." And he grabs the staff of the giant pink hammer, which is not subtle at all, and he hurls the guy head over heels and knocks him down. "For those who live by violence most surely will so perish." And Mutate leader's like, "This weapon, which we seize from the unsuspecting humans, will make you too a prisoner of the unbreakable attractosphere." And he's got like this remote control thing, and he pushes a button and it shoots this pink ray at Thor, and Thor manages to dodge it and smashes Mjolnir down the ground with a patoom and says, "Thor says thee nay, not while Mjolnir can still strike." And he creates a shockwave and knocks down the Mutate leader. And the Mutate guy's like, "My weapon shattered by the shockwave. What manner of human are you?" "One such as thou hast never known," says Thor. "Wrong. There is another. But you soon will learn for yourself." And the Mutate grabs his giant purple hammer, because it's purple now, which is not subtle at all, and goes running off down a tunnel, which is also not very subtle at all. And Thor's thinking to himself, "His departure is cloaked with words of mystery, but Thor shall worry not. My thoughts now turn to the beauteous Sif," as he says out loud. "Fair one, art thou free?" And apparently smashing the controls has turned off the attractosphere. So Sif is just kind of sitting here on it. And she's like, "Aye, my prince, thy hammer blow shattered more than weapon. It caused the sphere to shudder, thus releasing thy grateful lady." And Thor goes up to Sif and gives her a big hug. And he starts sweet-talking her.
"I know not where we be, beloved, but thou art safe. So all is well.
The fearsome funnel in which we'd been seized is but an entrance to another world."
"Then let our eyes behold what land it be," says Thor, and they go kind of looking through this door.
I don't see a door. They just kind of look off into space, and all of a sudden they're standing in the middle of this great big ruin, and it's a spectacular kind of Kirby scenery. It's better than that ruined city we had last issue. It's much better than that, and it's all these ruined machines, and it's kind of very alien sci-fi kind of look to it, and there's all these contraptions that are all broken down. Sif is saying,
"'Tis a bleak and barren world of woe, containing mammoth caverns."
That must be in Kentucky, then.
"Wherein countless weapons lie a-rotting, as though to mock their long-dead makers."
"Not but war, most cataclysmic, couldst have wrought such carnage absolute," says Thor.
And they're kind of wandering through this massive kind of area here, and they're going through some of the little buildings, and they see what looks like museum displays, which is interesting. In fact, I can't help but think when looking at this scene that this is very Commandy Last Boy on Earth. And it's like pictures of guys in armor and statues and old machines. And there's a thing that says Nuclear Soldier from Atomic War 2. And Thor is like,
"Methinks we stand amongst the remnants of what had been an Earth museum."
And they look at the wall, and there's this old poster here, and Sif's like,
"See that ancient poster upon yon wall."
"Aye, then my worst fears are realized."
And the poster is all ripped up, and it says, "The Committee of Scientists to Stop the Nuclear Bombing.
Warning! Radiation can alter the entire human race. And they have pictures of three different beings, and what first does Homo sapiens, is this kind of normal guy. And then there's a, looks like kind of a, you know, Neanderthal looking guy with big ears, though they're not as big as the mutate ears. And the label says semi-mutate. And then next to it is a picture of one of the, these mutate guys with the big bat-like ears. It says full mutate. And Thor saying, "'Tis not another world on which we be, but 'tis another time. Thou and I, my lady, have been mystically transported. Now we stand in the future. And yonder, think I, we shall find the answer." And Thor and Sif and Thor's small hammer, which seems to have shrunk again, move forward. And they see a building, which is a normal 20th century building. In fact, it looks like they've transported the whole city block here. We've got a series of buildings here. And Sif says, "'Tis the vanished group of buildings, the Humans Research Center. But how came they here?" "'Twas the doing of the funnel," says Thor. "But now mine eyes perceive a figure on the pavement far below. Though 'twas evening when the building vanished, mayhap he was trapped within. Now stand thee fast, m'lady. Let mighty Mjolnir speed us to yon place below." And he grabs Sif, and the two of them fly down to the surface where the building is. And they see a guy wearing a trench coat, and it's not orange this time, but it's the same guy we saw on the cover. And Thor doesn't recognize him. He's saying, "I liketh not his haughty stance, his strangely evil air. 'Twould seem he did expect our coming."
"So you blundered into my time funnel, just as I knew you would."
"Thy voice, cold and merciless as the glacial ice."
"Once I had captured the unsuspecting Sif, all I had to do was wait for Thor to step into my trap."
And Thor then recognizes him. He says, "Thou art no stranger to the God of Thunder."
"I am Pluto, Lord of the Netherworld."
You remember, it's been a long time since he appeared. It was way, way back, I want to say, Thor number 127? You know, like 126, 127? Way, way back.
"And you, with all who dwell above, are truly doomed," says Pluto.
And I have to say, he looks a lot different in this appearance than he did previously because, you know, consistency. And we have Thor is kind of lunging forward.
"We have met before, fought before, and Thor hath won before. So shall I do again."
"But this time, not alone," says Sif, and goes towards him.
I don't think he was alone the first time either. I'm pretty sure Hercules was with him last time. So anyway, Pluto shoots a ray out of his hands, and it seems to freeze Sif and Thor where they stand. And Pluto says,
"Have you so soon forgot? I am no godling, no fledgling prince. None but Odin can be my equal. And even him shall I destroy."
And Sif's like,
"With but a gesture, he slows our bodily vibrations. 'Tis as though our limbs can scarcely move."
And we get a panel of Pluto here looking really Satan-y. And he's got all this red and yellow light on him. And he's pointy ears and looks very, very devil-like.
"Ever since our last encounter, I have spent every waking moment in the lower depths planning, plotting, scheming, dreaming of my return to the surface world. And then at last I found the way."
And we have a little bit of flashback here with Pluto. And Pluto is in, I guess, his palace or whatever. And he's looking through his own cosmic voyeuroscope, which looks like a giant four-leaf clover.
"Ah, Shern Bagora, giant clover. They're trying to steal me lucky charms."
And he's looking at this view of these mutates, and they seem to be dominating the humans. And he's saying,
"There, within my great Eterna screen, which spans both time and space, I saw the warlike mutates humbling the remnants of a weary human race."
And he's saying out loud in commentary to what he's seeing here,
"They shall be perfect allies for a conquering Pluto. They shall serve me above as my demons do below."
And Pluto's telling a story of what happened after that. He says,
"My first act was to return to Earth, to rid myself of anything that might aid 20th century mankind to resist me."
And he pops up in, you know, kind of the middle of nowhere, wearing his big old trench coat. And he's thinking to himself,
I must find the research center where the greatest scientific secrets are kept. And I bet there's a big sign that says research center on the, I bet there is. I turn the page and yes, there is. Yes. It's this purple building and a big sign that says Advanced Science Research Center above the door. It was childishly simple for me, Lord of the Netherworld, to gain possession of the vital building complex. And we see that Pluto's standing out for the front door and he's shooting all these rays around. And what these rays do is they actually create this giant yellow and orange funnel that we saw earlier. Back, you witless mortals! It is far too late for anyone or anything to save you! Using my enchanted Eterna power, I effortlessly created the Mystic Time Funnel, which transported the buildings into the future. I knew, of course, that you would be my greatest obstacle. Thus I captured the female, so that we would meet on Pluto's terms. And now it is time to conclude this sordid little affair. Since I note you have almost freed yourself of my vibrational field... And Thor breaks free, and he's like, evil one, defend thyself. So long as Earth be menaced, the thunder god shall strike. And he lunges forward, and there's a big, huge explosion. And it's like, pow! And Thor and Sif go flying, and we see in the next panel, they're kind of knocked down. And Pluto's like, alas, son of Odin, it is not so simple. My loyal mutates are sworn to protect me, and I have conjured them weapons which cannot fail. And they're kind of towering over Thor and Sif kind of laying on the ground. And they're gathering around Pluto. Now, it surprises me that they would actually work for Pluto because Pluto looks like one of these humans that they hold in such disdain. And they're like, now, master, now can we attack the 20th century? We crave more humans, more weak and powerless victims who will serve us while they live.
Yes, and now there will be none to stop us. When the Asgardians recover, it will be too late, just as it is also too late for the mysterious being who still lies asleep within that captured building.
And we shift scenes here to a secret chamber within this building. And there's a sign, it's like a giant vault. And inside the vault, there's a sarcophagus or coffin or whatever. Big sign that says, no admittance, unknown biological specimen. Well, if it's unknown, then how did they capture it? Anyway, but anyway, there's like a buzzing, like a zzz, like Jimmy Olsen's signal watch or something. And the lid to the sort of sarcophagus thing begins to open to reveal a mysterious something. It's kind of... looks like a person's chest and arms, but their head looks like this thing with suckers on it. It's just like a... What are those aliens from Doctor Who that have the suckers on it? Anyway, that's kind of what it looks like, except it has no face, so it's obviously face down. And we get a little narration here.
But even as the power-hungry Pluto speaks, the heavy metal lid begins to open, soon to reveal... what? Next issue... The Final War. And that is Thor number 163.
So, of course, I do have a few things to say after this.
The dawn of an age. The founding of a family.
You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
Penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy. Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're changing.
Oh, Reed, not you too.
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly.
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power.
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth. And half mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream they're the palms in the hands of Dr. Doom.
Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can. That means I'm the most powerful person on Earth.
I've been expecting you, for I am a thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more.
You're in the presence of the awesome Ralatots, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
Fool, you're just a muscular freak, blind or halt.
Stop! You must not enter the Castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speak, Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four, from the very beginning, witness the origins of a legend. The Fantastic Forecast, ffcast.libsyn.com.
Okay, so of course, a few comments here on Thor number 163. I like this issue. It's a really good issue. It's a good, solid story. Now, this is very clearly a Jack Kirby story, both in the plot and also in the dialogue. There is so much Kirbyism in this script that I kind of wonder if Stan wrote anything at all in this issue. Maybe some of the captions. But it really reeks of a Kirby story in a good way. Much in the way that the New Gods were. I mean, you have that kind of excitement and maybe even over-enthusiastic sort of dialogue, the way that Kirby is known for writing it. It seems as though if Stan had anything to do with this issue at all, he had a very, very light hand on it. So it's interesting. Artwork, it's also really, really good. Now, Pluto looks different from the first time we've seen him. And then, you know, I've often kind of made fun of Jack Kirby for not being consistent. Yeah, and it's kind of the same here. I mean, Pluto wasn't immediately recognizable when he first appeared because he doesn't look the same. He's going to look a little bit more like he did in his first appearance next issue. But in this issue, it's just some guy with a trench coat. And you really don't know for sure who it is until he tells you. Because, again, it's not consistent. Artwork, though, really, really strong. He's got some really nice layouts here. He's got, like I said, that shadow effect, which is something he doesn't really do very often, something like this. And, of course, we have some beautiful, you know, full-page spreads here, like the spread of Sif that is being captured by the Attractosphere and being protected by the guy with the giant pink hammer, which is not suggestive at all. And we also have a really, really nice shot of Thor and Sif going through this ruined city. This is the second ruined city that we've had in as many issues, but it doesn't look anything like the first one, which just goes to show you how expansive Kirby's imagination was. He can make two ruined cities that look absolutely nothing alike, and they're in consecutive issues. So it's really, really cool that. Even the inking, I think, is pretty good here. All of the backgrounds seem to be pretty well realized. I can't see anything here that looks as though it may have been erased or anything like that. There's some coloring problems, though, and I didn't mention them earlier, but we have on page 17, where Thor is lunging towards Pluto, his helmet's been colored pink, much like Sif's hat. So it's weird that all of a sudden he has a pink helmet, which of course is gone in the next panel. I do understand that in the engraving process, and especially back in those days, when engraving was something that had to be done manually, coloring mistakes could happen if a piece of film fell off of the negative. You know, you can get these kind of weird coloring things. Or you're even like a blob of magenta ink falling on a printing plate while the press is in motion. So that's the sort of thing that you have in the printing process that enables like these blotches of color. You would think most of the time they would catch these things and pulp those particular issues that got ruined. But every once in a while, you'll get one that slips by quality control in Sparta, Illinois, or wherever. I think at this point, Marvel Comics were mostly being printed in Illinois, the Sparta works. But anyway, yeah, so the unknown biological specimen, and this looks really familiar to me, and it should look familiar to a lot of Marvelites. I'm not going to spoil it now, but this is a character who we have seen before, and a character who we will be seeing again, especially in the 1970s. If that's any kind of a hint for you. Anyway, so great issue here. Okay, so that is it for this week. Thanks very much for listening. And once again, you can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also join us over on Facebook and join our group. Just look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook and you will find us. Don't forget also, in April, we are appearing at C2E2 in McCormick Place in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And I really hope that you all check it out and come and join us. See all of the special guests that are swarming in at this point to the convention. And, of course, Radio Free Asgard will be there. And we hope that you'll stop by our table and say hello and introduce yourself. And that is it for this week. So, once again, thanks very much for listening. And we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery, and we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.